In connection with our consideration of Lord's Day 1, we turn to God's Word as it's found in Romans chapter 8. Certainly a beautiful passage, as familiar to us, many of us, as is the beautiful first question and answer of the Heidelberg Catechism. Romans chapter 8. We begin reading with verse 28 and read through verse 39. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate, to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We read the first Lord's Day of the Heidelberg Catechism. What is thy only comfort in life and death? Answer, that I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with His precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me, that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation. And therefore, by His Holy Spirit, He also assures me of eternal life, and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto Him. How many things are necessary for thee to know that thou, enjoying this comfort, mayest live and die happily? Answer, three. The first, how great my sins and miseries are. The second, how I may be delivered from all my sins and miseries. The third, how I shall express my gratitude to God for such deliverance. Once again, beloved, we open our beautiful, comforting book of instruction at Lord's Day 1, especially for those who are senior members of the congregation. That has happened for you many times. The Heidelberg Catechism was written to instruct us in the Reformed religion. It was composed to help us also to instruct our children so that from childhood on they might know the truth and the blessed meaning of this first question and answer. We all know that in Lord's Day 1, there is given to us an introduction to the entire catechism. In this Lord's Day, there is set before us the perspective, the viewpoint of the entire catechism. It is the warm and personal perspective of the comfort that is ours, in that we know that we are not our own, but we belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. It is this personal perspective that has made the catechism of all the Reformed confessions so dearly beloved to the saints of God who have grown up with it from childhood on. The Heidelberg Catechism treats all of the truths of God, His triune being, His creation, His providence, all of the truths of Jesus Christ, His person, His names, His mighty works, His crucifixion, His glorious resurrection, His ascension into heaven, His sitting at the right hand of God, His coming at the end of the ages. It treats all of these from the viewpoint of what a great comfort these things are for the believer. The Heidelberg Catechism is unique compared to the other Reformed confessions is that it has a theme that runs through the entire catechism. Repeatedly, as the truths of God are being considered, the question is asked, what comfort does this truth have for you? The question is asked in a very personal and pointed way. What is your only comfort in life and in death? One of the commentaries that I intend to be reading as I prepare the sermons again on the Heidelberg Catechism compares this pointed personal question to a question that might be asked by a pastor or by an elder when they conduct family visiting. And they sit together with the family and they go around the circle. And they ask father and mother and every child. They ask the young people and they ask the children in the home this soul-searching question. What is your only comfort in life and in death? And we all must answer that question. It will not go away. You have to answer that question from your heart. I have to answer that question. What is your and my only comfort? And then in answer to that question, the Heidelberg Catechism sets forth the mighty comfort It is, beloved. What a mighty comfort. For body and soul, in life and death, in time and eternity. This is our only comfort. The approach of the Heidelberg Catechism is a biblical one. That is obvious from many passages of Scripture. One of the most obvious ones, using the very words comfort, is the opening verses of Isaiah 40. Comfort ye, comfort ye. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. God commands the preacher of God's word to comfort God's people. That's always the central purpose and must be the central purpose of the preaching of God's word, in order that God's people might be comforted. It is striking that our Lord Jesus Christ, before his ascension into heaven, promises his church that after he ascended into heaven, he will give the Holy Spirit. He will pour out the Holy Spirit, and he shall be a comforter. And that word, paraclete, is a beautiful word. It suggests that he will call us to his side. He will lead and guide us into all truth. And he will do that in such a way that he will comfort us in all our sorrows, in all of our trials, in our struggles with sin. He will comfort us with the truth of God's word and the hope of our salvation in Jesus Christ. When the Catechism begins in this way, it is not being man-centered. There are those who actually criticize the Catechism in its very first question and answer, because they claim that it makes everything man-centered. God is entirely dependent upon whether or not I am comforted by him. And so there are those who suggest that it is a better approach that is taken by the Belgic Confession, which begins with who God is and how God is to be known. And then, in a very objective way, it treats all the great truths of God's word. And there are some who say that the Westminster Confession is superior to the Heidelberg Catechism because it begins with the question, what is the chief duty of man, the end of man, and that is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. It is not proper, it is said, therefore, that the whole of the truth should be viewed from the viewpoint, the subjective viewpoint of the Heidelberg Catechism in the question, what is your only comfort in life and death? Well, the best answer to that question is the truth that the Heidelberg Catechism sets before us, the Reformed religion, the absolute central focus of the Reformed religion is the glory of God. The Heidelberg Catechism is a summary of that religion, which is characterized by the solas, sola scriptura, sola fidei, sola Christo, soli, sola gratia, and soli Deo Gloria. To God alone be the glory. Scripture alone, Christ alone, faith alone, the glory of God alone. The Heidelberg Catechism, however, in its perspective, applies that truth to the heart of the child of God in a living and personal way. And that's Calvinism. Calvinism isn't some kind of a cold, abstract doctrine of the sovereignty of God. Calvinism is the blessed truth of our only comfort in life and death. If our comfort is in anyone else or in anything else, then in this truth, the truth of God, the truth that we belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, then our comfort has no solid basis. And so we begin again the consideration of all of the truths of God and of our salvation from the personal perspective of the Heidelberg Catechism. Our great comfort. Our comfort is in God alone and in Jesus Christ alone. Our comfort is in that we are not our own, but we belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And that comfort has basis. Though it certainly is a feeling, it is not a mystical feeling. It is a comfort that is based on truth, God's truth, and it is a comfort that grows stronger and stronger every time we consider the glorious truth of God that is the basis of that comfort. And then finally, I want to consider and impress that upon all of us. There is joy in this comfort. True religion gives us the basis, the grace and Spirit of God to live and to die happily. We are sober. We are serious about our sins. And the Heidelberg Catechism teaches us to do that. But we, above all, as Reformed believers, have reason for the greatest joy imaginable, the joy of salvation in Jesus Christ. Let us then consider briefly again this morning, Lord's Day 1, and consider our only comfort. The Heidelberg Catechism teaches us that it's our only comfort. There cannot finally be comfort in anything else or in anyone else than in this truth. It is a comfort for every and all circumstances of our life. And it has solid ground. It's the same and was the same for the saints of God at the time of the Reformation. And when you think of the historical occasion in which the Heidelberg Catechism was composed. What an amazing thing, how relevant that was for the people of God in those days, in the time of the Reformation, when there were great battles of faith, when there were many enemies that threatened the life of the church, and when many suffered persecution. Their very lives were being threatened, and many, rather than deny the truth, were ready to give up their very lives. They counted not their lives precious unto them, because they had in their heart and soul, by the grace of God, the only comfort in life and death, of which the Heidelberg Catechism speaks. We acknowledge as children of God, and that's who this catechism is written for, though it certainly is very relevant also on the mission field. It was written, first of all, to comfort God's people, and we acknowledge that we need that comfort. There are those in the world, more and more so in our time, who imagine that they don't need it. Shockingly, in our own land, atheism is increasing more and more. Atheism teaches that there is no need of God. There is no God, and there is no need of God. I can take care of myself. There's nothing that I cannot overcome through my own strength and through my own efforts. The atheist is the fool who in his heart rejects the very existence of God. He has no regard for God, no fear of God. He imagines that he can have happiness and peace and joy without God. And so you see the billboards on the freeways in the Grand Rapids area by those who have that opinion. What a dreadful thing that is. There are also those, and especially young people, thankfully not our young people, hopefully, young people who live by a philosophy that in technical terminology has in the past been called existentialism. All that matters is the here and the now. All that matters is how I feel and what my present experience is. I'm enjoying life. I'm young. I'm healthy. I'm having fun. And that's all that matters. These serious things of which the Word of God speaks, they're not my concern. As long as I'm young, and as long as life is exciting, as long as I'm healthy, what does it matter what tomorrow will bring me? And so, the ungodly youths in America live in their ungodliness. There are others who foolishly imagine that there can be comfort in riches, in glory in the world. They know that's not true. It's way too obvious. They know that there's lots of trouble in the world. They don't face the reality of these troubles until they actually come. They take out insurance policies. They have their investments. And they imagine that they are secure for the future. If they do contract some kind of disease, they are sure that there will be a doctor. In our modern day society, in the prosperous country, the advanced modern country in which we are living, there will always be someone who can help us. But how foolish that is, and how terribly wicked it is. We know that there is one only true and eternal God. He is the sovereign of heaven and earth. He created us and formed us in order that we might serve and glorify Him. He is holy, and we are sinners. He is the judge of all men, and someday all of us must appear before His judgment seat. He is righteous. in all of his judgments. His curse has come upon the world, and the reason for all of the misery, the suffering, the disease, the war, the violence, the darkness, the hatred of this world, it's all due to man's rebellion against God. And we live in a miserable world, a life, and that's not pessimism, that's reality. Our life many times is nothing more than a veil of tears. It is in that world that we confess that we have one only comfort. God is our God. And He is the God and Father of His eternal Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, whom He sent into the world for our salvation. Our comfort is that we belong to Him. Therefore, we are not our own. What a blessed truth that is. In the face of our enemies, in the face of the awful reality of our sins, the sin that we were conceived and born with, the sin that makes all of us guilty in the presence of God and worthy of His condemnation, we are not our own. In the midst of a world of suffering and misery, in which many things are totally out of control, beyond our control, far more powerful than we are ourselves. We are weak. We are sinful. We suffer many trials. Nowhere in the Bible does God promise His children that they will not get sicknesses and diseases, that death will not come at God's appointed time. There are disappointments. There are great sorrows. There are great enemies. In the face of all of these realities, we have the comfort of belonging to Jesus Christ. And what a mighty comfort that is. As that comfort was precious to the saints of God at the time of the Reformation, that comfort is precious to us, isn't it? In the ungodly world, in the world that is not improving, getting better and better, in a world of darkness and apostasy in the church, in a world of diseases, we do not imagine that someday modern science is going to advance so far that all diseases will be curable. It won't happen. Though modern medicine has discovered cures for some of the terrible diseases, there are always new ones. And even more terrible ones arising because all of these things are developing in a sin-cursed world. It's a fearful world. And our children know the reality of that. There are times when we cry. There are times when terrible things happen, even in our families. There are times when fathers and mothers are taken away by death There are times even when little babies die. And all kinds of awful things that we cannot explain. And we read the papers. And we hear of wars and terrorism. Radical terrorism. Shooting. In shopping malls and in schools. What a dreadful world we live in. What a terrifying world. But in the midst of that world, beloved, we have the beautiful comfort that I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He is mine, and I am His. My faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, is the Almighty, Eternal Son of God. He is the one who has died on the cross for all of my sins. And He is the one who is now sitting at God's right hand as the Lord of lords and King of kings. He is the one who guides the course of history in His hand. Our all power and authority in heaven and earth. He is the one who rules over all the nations. And He is the one who has redeemed His church. I'm a member of that church. He is the one who has given to His church the blessed gospel to comfort His people in all of their sorrows and troubles. The Heidelberg Catechism makes most amazing statements in which it sets before us the ground of the comfort of belonging to Jesus. That comfort is not just a mere imagination. It is not merely a vague feeling, though it's a feeling. It is. It's an assurance in our heart. But it's a feeling that is based on truth. God's truth. In Jesus Christ, the truth declared to us in the gospel and the truth that we must know and learn over and over again and be comforted by again and again. Why do we go through the Heidelberg Catechism over and over again in order that the whole of the basis of our comfort might repeatedly be declared in our midst, and we might listen to it and be reminded of it and receive that truth in our heart and be comforted by that great comfort of belonging to Jesus Christ. Listen to the statements of the Catechism that are the ground of our comfort. Because I belong to Jesus Christ, because He has chosen me to be His own. It's not because I have chosen Him, but it is because He has chosen me. He did not choose me, but I have chosen you against the false religion of free willism, which is a religion that doesn't comfort, is the religion of the gospel of grace, restored to the church by the Reformation. I am His because He has made me His. And He has fully satisfied for all of my sins. The reason for all misery in the world is the awful reality of sin and God's righteous and holy judgment upon that sin. And I'm partaker of that. I inherited guilt and corruption from my fallen parents, and I cannot deliver myself from my own sin. My comfort is not, according to the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church, that I shall deliver myself through doing a certain set of good works proposed by the Church. I know that by the deeds of the law shall no man be justified in the sight of God. I have comfort in this blessed and wonderful truth, that the Lord Jesus Christ, through His sacrifice on the cross, has fully satisfied for all of my sins. Couldn't have any comfort if that were not true. Its foundation is in the cross and in the righteousness that Jesus has accomplished for me on the cross, according to which all condemnation for my sin has been taken away. My Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has satisfied for all of my sins the grief and the sorrow and the fear that I have when I don't think about that, is the burden of my own sin and guilt. My comfort is that Jesus Christ, my faithful Savior, has fully satisfied for all of my sins. He has accomplished all righteousness for me, and that righteousness is freely imputed to me by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And He delivers me from the devil. The Reformation reminded believers of the reality of the devil. Martin Luther talked a lot about it. So did John Calvin, of the power and temptation of the devil. Wickedness involves the work of the devil. Those who do not belong to Christ, they are the followers of the devil. And he walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. My comfort is that Christ, who is more powerful than the devil, has delivered me from the power of the devil. I am so weak in myself that I could not stand even for one moment against him. My comfort is not in that I will be able to resist his temptation. I'm strong enough, even if all others will yield, I would never yield. That's not my comfort. My comfort is that I belong to my mighty Lord and Savior, who has conquered the devil, who is already now victorious over the devil, and who has spoiled all principalities and powers. He leads me by His truth, so that I am not deceived by His lies and by His evil devices. My comfort is that God is my heavenly Father. How often the Scriptures speak of that blessed truth, that God is our Father for Jesus' sake. He's not the Father of all men. Nowhere in the Bible is there that teaching that God is the universal Father of all men. He is the Father of His elect, through adoption, by grace in Jesus Christ, and by the Holy Spirit. In our hearts we are assured of the truth that we are the children of God, and He cares for us. as no earthly father can. He rules in his wonderful providence over heaven and earth and over all the things that happen in this life. And he causes all things to work together for my salvation. Through faith in him, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so we believe that the definition of comfort that defines comfort only as being able in our minds to set over against each other some great good over against some great evil, it's far more wonderful than that, beloved. Our comfort is in the sovereign God who rules over the devil and all of his devices and who is able to turn those things in my life that seem to be evil and that seem to be so hard and so adverse. Not only do I have the comfort that I shall be delivered from all of these circumstances that are so difficult, I have a greater comfort. I have the comfort of belonging to Jesus Christ, in whom and through whom I am more than conqueror. So that the evils that happen to me in this present life, not only will they be overcome, but in Christ they are defeated. So that even these things, by my sovereign, loving Heavenly Father, will work for my salvation. Even the trials and afflictions of this present time work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I have a Father. God is my Father for Jesus' sake, and he cares for me so completely that not even one hair can fall from my head without his will. What a mighty comfort that is. And he assures me by his Holy Spirit of eternal life. We do not imagine that we will live forever on earth. We know that this life is fleeting. It is soon over. If the Lord tarries, we know that the day will come that we must face the last enemy, death. And even in the face of that enemy, we have this great comfort. We're not afraid to die. For death cannot and will not destroy us. We have the blessed assurance in our heart through the work of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, we have the assurance that when we die, we shall go to heaven. What a great comfort that is. All the sorrows and troubles of this present life will soon be over. And through Jesus Christ, to whom we belong, we shall be delivered from them all and brought into the glorious presence of our God and Savior in the new heavens and the new earth, there to live through all eternity in everlasting life in the presence of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Many, many thousands of saints over the years, the Apostle Paul, Stephen, they were martyred. They were not afraid to die because they had in their hearts the blessed assurance of the catechism, the blessed assurance of the hope of eternal life, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is that your comfort? Is that my comfort? Do we understand that this is our only comfort, and especially when that day comes, when we face the last enemy, we will know. When no doctor can cure us anymore, when all the systems of our bodies are shutting down, we need not be afraid, because death has lost its sting, and the grave cannot have the victory. Thanks be to God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then one more amazing statement. He also makes me willing and able to live unto Him. My comfort is not that I will perform a certain measure of good works, whereby I will add to the merits of Jesus Christ, and whereby I will perform that which is necessary to accomplish my salvation. I cannot. Even though I want to, I cannot. I'm weak in myself. But I also know that the Christian religion is not something passive. As has been said, we're not going to go to heaven in a Pullman sleeper car. When God in Christ has redeemed us, He gives to us a mighty calling to fight the great battle of faith, to condemn the ungodly world, to live by His commandments. And I know in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. I don't have any comfort in myself. My comfort is in Jesus Christ, who also is the one who works in me the willing and the doing according to His good pleasure. By His Holy Spirit, He assures me that I belong to Him. And He enables me, though not yet perfectly in this life, He works in me a desire and a beginning of living according to the will of God and delighting in the commandments of God. This too is my comfort. The whole of my Christian life, and yours, beloved, rests in Jesus Christ, who not only saves us by His death on the cross, but also through the effectual, wonderful power of His Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our lives. This is our comfort. And we know the joy of that comfort. So the Catechism in the second question of Lord's Day 1. How many things are necessary for thee to know that thou, enjoying this comfort, mayest live and die happily? Always pay lots of attention, beloved, also to the questions of the Heidelberg Catechism. This is the way that we will know and enjoy this comfort and live and die happily. What an amazing wonder to be able to live and die happily. Reformed Christians are sober, and they should be. Life is serious. Sin is serious. Living in this ungodly world is serious. extremely serious. Temptation is very powerful, and the troubles of life cause us to weep at time, and the apostasy of the church fills us with sorrow and grief and anguish. But we have joy. The joy of belonging to Jesus Christ. And we know that joy in a threefold way, according to the Catechism, and that's very significant. We must first of all know how great our sins and miseries are, and then know how we are saved from that sin and misery, and then how we may show our gratitude to God. All three of these must be known at once, though there is a certain priority. The first thing that we need to know is the greatness of our sin and misery, but we must know that all the time, until our Lord Jesus Christ delivers us and brings us to heavenly glory, there must be a growing knowledge, a deepening, more and more profound knowledge of the comfort that we have in Jesus Christ. This is the way that we learn it day by day. We learn how great my sins and miseries are. That's not a shallow, superficial, flighty consideration of the reality of my sin. Anyone who knows the Reformed religion and the confessions of the Reformed churches, including the Heidelberg Catechism, we confess the truth of total depravity. The truth of total depravity means not merely that I was conceived and born in sin. It means also that I still have a sinful nature with me that is totally depraved, wholly incapable of doing any good whatsoever. Daily, I must humble myself before God. As I struggle with the reality of sin, I learn how weak I am, how subject I am to the temptations of this world. My sin and misery outside of Jesus Christ would lead me to eternal condemnation in hell. I must know my sin and misery, in order that daily I might humble myself before God and Jesus Christ. I am delivered from that sin and misery in no other way than by Jesus Christ alone. He who is the eternal Son of God, who accomplished my righteousness on the cross, He alone could and does deliver us from our sin and misery. We understand the first point, and we must be instructed in the first point in order that we might flee to Christ and find our only hope, our righteousness, and our perfect salvation in Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, how I may, in all of my life, show my thankfulness to God. The more we know the first two of these, how sinful we are, the more we understand the wonder of our salvation by the grace of God and in Jesus Christ alone, the more that we desire earnestly and sincerely and prayerfully to live our lives in thankfulness to God. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits towards me? How shall my soul, by grace restored, give worthy thanks, O Lord, to Thee? And God teaches us that in His Word, in the Heidelberg Catechism, teaches us how we must show our gratitude to God by teaching us the law of God and all of its implications, and by teaching us how we ought to pray according to the perfect model prayer that our Lord Jesus Christ gave to us. All of this, beloved, belongs to the great and wonderful comfort that is ours in Jesus Christ. As we again begin the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism, may we learn every Lord's Day more deeply the wonder and the blessedness of that comfort of belonging to Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, we thank thee first of all for Jesus Christ, thy Son, and our salvation in him. We thank thee for the gospel that from beginning to end declares the wonder of our salvation and the comfort of that salvation. We thank thee, O Lord, also for this beautiful, precious confession of the Heidelberg Catechism, born at the time when the church was facing very dark and fearful times, and her members found their comfort, confessed their comfort, their only comfort, to be in Jesus Christ. May we also then, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ and living in such evil and dark times in which we are living, living in perilous times, in the last days, when all that is prophesied of in the Scriptures are being realized, in the days when the great tribulation shall soon be upon us, may we find our great comfort and belonging to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. May we teach that also to our children and to our young people. Amen.